located in the heart of Hollywood, convenient to downtown Los Angeles. For your stay in California, select the Hollywood Knickerbocker. The time, 6:15 o'clock. For the next quarter hour, the facilities of KMBC have been engaged by the Jackson County Democratic Central Committee for a political broadcast. This station does not express opinions nor take sides on controversial questions. Hence, all views expressed will be those of the speaker. Now we present the Honorable Harry S. Truman, United States Senator from Missouri. Senator Truman.
Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, tomorrow we face our first wartime election, which will decide who shall carry on our nation's government for the next 2 years. Not for many years has an election meant so much to each one of us. We are in the midst of a worldwide war to preserve the processes of free government. It is not only appropriate but necessary that even in the midst of war, these processes go on. The right to vote is one of the great privileges of our American democracy. It is likewise one of the fundamental processes of the democratic way we are fighting to preserve. Destiny placed at the head of this nation in 1933 a great president who, ahead of the others, recognized the dangers to this country of the impending conflagration in Europe. That we're as well prepared as we are to make an effective contribution now to this war is due to his efforts and to those of a Democratic Congress. Destiny, however, has now charged the Democratic administration and a Democratic Congress with leadership in this emergency. This leadership must be continued and supported. It requires no demonstration to tell that a Democratic defeat at the polls this year would hamper, delay, and confuse the conduct of the war, and perhaps imperil the peace. The war we're now fighting is a continuation of the one we fought in 1917 and 18. The victors of that war had the opportunity to compel a peace that would protect us from war for many generations, but they missed that opportunity. Citizens of Missouri in the 4th Congressional District may well be proud to be represented by a man of the qualifications and integrity of Jasper Bell. In the 8 years that Jasper Bell has been a member of the Congress, he has made a record that has been outstanding, and he has supported the policies that have made this country a great fighting nation and able to stand against her enemies. In the 5th Congressional District, you have an opportunity to elect to Congress of the United States Roger Slaughter, a man of unswerving allegiance to the Democratic Party, who is known to all of you. He is a man who will stand squarely and solidly behind our Commander-in-Chief, Franklin D. Roosevelt. America now faces the most crucial period of the war. Now is the time that America needs proven men. Such men are those who have believed and will continue to believe in the principles of the Democratic Party. Such men are Jasper Bell and Roger Slaughter, who will staunchly support our president in his policies and efforts to win this war as speedily as possible. Let us elect in Jackson County and throughout Missouri every Democratic candidate, so that we can show to the world that Jackson County and Missouri stand firmly and solidly behind our great leader, Franklin D. Roosevelt. America faces the greatest peril in its history. On all sides, wanton aggressors, skilled in the blackest arts of treachery, savagery, and brutality, have embarked on a path of conquest which would debase and destroy democratic freedoms, democratic ideas, and democratic institutions everywhere. In Europe, only Britain and Russia remain in the path of the conqueror. In the Western Pacific, the Nipponese have overwhelmed the Philippines, Malaya, Dutch East Indies, and are savagely attacking our American troops in the Solomon Islands at this moment. Alaska and our West Coast have seen the occupation of Kiske in the Aleutian Islands. However, when the savage blow fell, which brought the United States fully into the war, that dastardly attack of the Japanese on Pearl Harbor, we were not completely unprepared. Due to the foresight of our great president, Franklin D. Roosevelt, his plan for a two-ocean navy was already in full swing. Over the howling protests of the major portion of the opposition party, great strides had been taken for the defense of our country. Our president has given us the most gigantic armament program the world has ever known. This program has been ratified by the Congress, which has appropriated and authorized the expenditure of billions and billions of dollars. Our plan calls for planes, tanks, and guns, and ships to keep the supply lines open. America must become a reservoir of ships, planes, tanks, and guns, and all other supplies of war. Not one American life must be lost because of a shortage of equipment on the American battlefront. However, we must be practical and realistic. We know that war programs in the past have been hindered by profiteering, graft, and fraud on the part of a selfish minority. We know that all too often in past wars, indecision and inaction on the part of important government officials impaired the effectiveness of the program. No factor must be allowed to impede this war program. We are determined that the billions of dollars spent on the armament program shall be effectively and economically expended. The Senate National Defense Committee was created in the early part of 1941 and directed to make a constant check into the activities of government defense agencies. When a great peace-loving nation changes its way of life from peace to war, when industry changes from its usual peacetime production to that of war, it can be expected that some confusion and error will result. Some of our problems can only be solved through trial and error. However, when mistakes are made, they must be corrected at once. The functions of Congress include passing laws and voting money to make them work. But our job isn't done when we vote. It is also our duty to make sure that the laws are carried out and the people's money spent efficiently and economically. This is done by committees which inquire into the operations of the administrative agencies. Responsible officials are called before these congressional committees to answer to the people as to their acts and the management of their departments. There is no other agency in the government to perform this duty, to put on record all the facts which will lead to the solution of our grave national problems. The Congress represents the people and the sovereign rights of the people. When we ask government officials to explain their activities, we are asking on your behalf. The information we get is for you. The recommendations we make are made in the interests of the whole country. We Americans are now engaged in total war. Every civilian must fight in this war, even as our sons and brothers struggle in physical combat with the enemy on the far-flung battlefields of the globe. The weapons we fight with are our strength, our time, our patience, our willpower. Our strategy here on the home front demands that we produce more than we have ever produced before and learn to live on less. Some people call these adjustments we are making sacrifices. We civilians are not sacrificing, we are fighting. And these adjustments are our weapons of war. Every single one of us can and must participate in our home front strategy. We must learn to live on less. This we will do willingly and cheerfully, since it means more tanks and guns, more ships and airplanes for the boys out there. We must learn to live on less. That is why we have rationing. First, let us understand rationing. It's not starvation, long bread lines, shoddy goods. Rather, it's a community plan for dividing fairly the supplies we have among all who need them. Second, it's not un-American. The earliest settlers of this country, facing scarcities of food and clothing, pooled their precious supplies and apportioned them out to everyone on an equal basis. It is an American idea, and it is an American idea now. We no longer have in this country an abundance of raw materials which are used for automobiles, refrigerators, and radios. These raw materials must go into weapons for our armed forces. We have made our decision. We are determined to win the war as quickly as possible. To accomplish that end, and we can do without a lot of things which we had grown to consider necessities. Having made our decision, we must divide fairly what is left after the needs of our fighting men have been met. One of the reasons why we must have rationing lies in the fact that we Americans in normal times shop all over the world. We buy 2/3 of our sugar in Cuba, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, and the Philippines, 93% of our rubber in the East Indies, and our coffee in Brazil, our tea in Ceylon. 93% of our rubber supply was abruptly cut off when the Japanese invaded Malaya and the East Indies. So we civilians save our tires and round up all the old rubber and scrap, practically all of which we know must go into the equipment for the Army and the Navy. But today we need more and more guns, planes, and tanks. So our great manufacturing companies are making planes and tanks and not automobiles and trucks. The steel, copper, aluminum, and other materials that were used for the production of automobiles, washing machines, refrigerators, and so forth, are now used for the production of machines of war. The gasoline situation is different. The rationing order is not for the purpose of saving gas, but to conserve the very limited supply of rubber. The only way to save that rubber is to cut down on driving. Every effort will be made to meet the business requirements of all classes of people. But we must have rubber no matter how badly it hurts. And so our government has set up a plan to assure each one of us his legitimate share of the goods which the war has made scarce. The hoarder has no place in such a plan. We believe that the war program not only will produce sufficient supplies for the defense of the nation, but that it will produce supplies enough to enable the United States to take the offensive and win the war. We must take the offensive eventually because wars are not won on the defensive. We'll win the war because of the indomitable courage of the American people and because of the sheer extent of our resources. We're beginning to attain results, and I'm in a position to know. Mechanized and armored divisions embodying the latest devices of combat warfare have been formed. The Air Force is being very greatly expanded, and a plan of training for this huge Air Force has been formulated and put into operation. We are approaching mass production of bomber planes, and these bomber planes are the finest in the world. The Navy is building ships in unprecedented numbers. We are thankful that President Roosevelt and the Democratic administration had sufficient vision to adopt a defense program before we became engaged in the war. And we owe much to those who advocated and forced the adoption of that program. We have accomplished what for any other nation would have been miracles. This has been accomplished over the objection of the majority of the opposition party. Domestic policies are always open to debate and disagreement. But when this great nation was facing the immediate attack of a savage enemy, adherents of the GOP let their partisanship transcend their patriotism and by methods of obstruction hindered our country's preparation for war. Our Missouri congressmen, Placer, Short, and Bennett were the outstanding obstructionists in the House of Representatives. The Democratic Party has put aside all thoughts of partisanship during the present emergency. From the records of the Senate Committee, of which I'm chairman, you will find many matters which have been criticized openly and vigorously. The one thought in our minds has been the speedy consummation of this war. This administration has not taken the position to hide mistakes, but to bring them out into the opaque, 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 but to bring them out into the opaque corrected. In comparison, take the record of the opposition party. Before Pearl Harbor, they were predominantly against measures which have now proven to be our only bulwark against our savage enemies. The only way they can come before the people is to apologize for their record and with unproven promises as to what they will do in the future. You can't trust them. Members of the Democratic Party stand on their record, a record of placing the national interest before partisan politics. The president showed in the beginning of the emergency that there would be no political bias in the conduct of this war when he appointed Stimson and Knox as secretaries of war and navy. The opposition party, what are their records? A record of blind subservience to the principles of obstruction. Because of the courage and vision of our great president, we now present to our enemies a nation whose might will overwhelm the brutal powers which seek to destroy democracy. I am asking you to go to the polls tomorrow and think. Think of your country's welfare. Think of the welfare of our armed forces. Think of your responsibility in this terrible emergency, and then cast your ballot for the support of our commander-in-chief.
You have just heard the Honorable Harry S. Truman, United States Senator from Missouri. While the past quarter hour, the facilities of KMBC have been engaged by the Jackson County Democratic Central Committee for this political broadcast. This station does not express opinions nor take sides on controversial questions. Hence, all views expressed are those of the speaker.